Broadcasting live, it's time for Breaking the Good Girl Syndrome with Patty Azar, the value advocate for professional women.
Born to be wild.
Join Patty as she provides women with keys to success in business. Stop leaving money on the table and putting aside your joy and fulfillment and walk through the door of prosperity. Now, here's your host, Patty Azar.
Hi, this is Patty Azar, and I am the host of Breaking the Good Girl Syndrome radio program, and I am the value advocate for professional women. Hello, Catherine. How are you today?
I am doing fantastic, and I'm really excited because there's a CNN, I saw it on CNN. It came out of Harvard Business School survey today that says that young women that are raised by working mothers are more successful, and young men that are raised by working mothers are more helpful around the house. So I am feeling relieved that I'm not going to be sending my daughter to counseling for 20 years. Good day.
Well, you do realize now I do have the grown son, so I'm hoping that the way that I raised him is not putting him on a psychiatrist's couch, too.
They said that they are young men that are raised by working moms have more egalitarian views and are more helpful with chores around the house. So it seems that, doting on your children 24/7 isn't quite what's necessary in order to make them a successful adult.
You know what I love, too, about what you're saying, because I do have the grown son, and you and I out there doing the work and the organizational development work we do, it really is refreshing to see the younger guys in Generation X and the millennials out there, because you can tell that they've been raised by working moms, so many of them, and how open they are to coaching, how open they are to feedback. And you don't see some of the barriers that we saw growing up and working in business.
Honestly, I think that, knock on wood, my hope is that we're finally beginning to see the days where what you and I have talked about, wanting to see for so long, where the gender issues and really just the differences are not even, we don't even notice those in business as much as we do. What are the skills that you have, and how can you and I leverage our skill sets together to drive greater success?
That's why I'm so thrilled, because next week we have Ginger Hartage, the SVP of Culture and Corporate Communications, on with Southwest Airlines. Somehow they've got a magic pill, or they've got the secret sauce, because, we have talked with her, and you can tell that they don't care race, creed, nationality, ethnicity. They don't care. They just care about the individual and how they align their corporate core values that are measurable and in turn are profitable for the organization.
Well, and the other thing that Southwest Airlines has done so well, and I hope that Ginger is able to speak about this, is that they have key fundamentals that they want their leaders, attributes that they want all of their leaders to have. And those are across the board. But yet they also are able to, who the individual is as an authentic leader, and allowing them to live and reside and grow within that authentic leadership. And I think that's such a unique and difficult balance, right, to go from what are these universal skill sets that we want everyone to have, but how do these universal skill sets apply to you as an individual, because you lead differently than I lead?
That's so funny that you say that, because today on BizWomen, and I don't know if you've gotten it yet or not, but it talks about a young woman, and the headline says, "Well, one boss said she wasn't edgy enough for a promotion, another gave her hope." And you and I have seen this, because this is one of the myths we're trying to break for women in the marketplace, is that one size fits all. And that you have to either be meek and mild, or you have to be so aggressive, and there's nothing in the middle. And in looking at this, of course, she found someone else that understood her value, who understood what she brought, her communication style, and her authentic leadership. And what happened is that she's been able to be extremely successful. And what's funny is that she left her boss behind. I believe what it said at the end of the article, that her boss is still in his same role, and she is far surpassed him.
Yes, I think it says she is actually now his boss. And it's funny, Vicki Sullivan, you know, today's guest, I was reading her newsletter that came out this morning, and she talks about, you know, 70% of the turnover, as we all know, is due to, you know, poor management. And I think with, you know, all the new generations that have hit the workforce, it is going to become even more critical than ever that leaders really know how to lead. And that, to me, is a bit frightening and a bit daunting, because we've all seen the study after study that says anywhere between 20 and 25% of the people that are in leadership roles right now actually have a clue as to what they're doing.
I know, and that's why it's so important for Vicki Sullivan to be out in the marketplace, simply because she's a thought leader in what she does to help people understand where their uniqueness is, but also how they can capitalize on it, because today we're going to talk about fame and no fortune. And understanding that, that means if you're looking at your organization, you have to understand what thought leadership means inside of leadership, what it means in terms of being able to put a team together and to be able to align it with your strategy and to your performance objectives, so that you can build a type of culture where it's safe to fail, but you have to fail fast, and then from there you come back and you're able to put a different course of action in so that you can lead people to success.
Well, and I think, you know, too, in terms of thought leadership, I think that it's an area that oftentimes in the busyness of all the other priorities, oftentimes gets left behind. And I tell you what, you and I have seen it with our own clients that we have worked with in the marketplace. If you can carve out your niche as a thought leader in whatever your space is, it really will provide you a market differentiator in terms of how you're perceived by not only your clients and your customers, but by your competitors.
I know you and I are always so surprised when we go in and put our real simple framework together, and the fourth perspective is thought leadership and regulatory. Number one, how do you position yourself out there as a thought leader? Number two, when you do that, how you're able to position yourself with intrusion from the government, how you're able to minimize that, how you're able to go out, if you do have government intrusion, to go out and to say, you know what, we'll make this a positive for us. But it's interesting to me about how critical that is, especially when you're talking about this war on talent out here, and understanding how important it is that the younger generation, for sure, the millennials that are out there listening to us, and the folks who are leading the millennials, they've got to be on top of it regarding thought leadership. They've got to understand what it means to be there, because individuals, especially the younger they are, just like you talked about the study today coming out of CNN, the issue being that young people aren't going to just work for you just to work for you. And it's not that they have to have a mushy environment, because they really choose and they ask and they require immediate feedback, positive feedback and negative feedback. However, they have to know that someone is at the helm of the ship steering it in terms of being a thought leader in their space.
Absolutely. They don't mind giving you the discretionary part of their life. They just want to make sure that you're headed in a direction that they're comfortable with, so that they don't get caught off guard.
Absolutely, and that it's worth it, because so many of us baby boomers out there, we all felt like we sold our soul to the quote to the man out there. We've done so tremendously well in the marketplace, but what happened to us is that so many woke up and said, "Oh my God, what have I done with my life?" So the good news is, I think some of the younger generations have seen that, and that's why it's so critical to have someone out there that you can align with, that you can have as a guide and a mentor and a real expert telling you how important it is to position yourself, no matter if you're a small organization or you're a large organization, just like Vicki does, because, you know, she's a scream, you know, and we always love just being in her presence, and she's here in the studio, so I can't wait to hear what she's going to say to us, Catherine.
Well, I mean, you know my philosophy. The world can't have too many University of Oklahoma Sooners. So,
well,
I mean, this show will probably take the numbers right off the – I mean, I don't know that we'll ever be able to hit the numbers that we hit today, because you have two Sooners on the show on the same day.
Well, well, well. Here I am, the Georgia Peach, having to listen to all this stuff about Oklahoma Sooners. So, oh, my gosh, and now I've got to go to segment two. Thank goodness. I love Vicki because, so, you know, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick the schools.
That's
and,
right.
And all the affiliations and stuff. Listen, you have to stay with us. I am Patty Azar, and I am the host of Breaking the Good Girl Syndrome radio program. You must come back because I'm going to introduce, and you have to hear her, Vicki Sullivan, who is the principal of Sullivan Associates and president of Sullivan Speaking Services. You want to differentiate yourself in the market? This is the woman that's going to help you do it. Come back.
Since 1990, Patty Azar, an organizational development expert, has been supporting, advising, and developing executives and functional leaders in the areas of strategy, leadership, and team development. She and her team approach their clients in a fun and engaging manner, utilizing the latest research positioned to drive real results to build company-wide alignment and high-performing teams. Patty and her team are able to meet your leadership and organizational needs through facilitation of leadership retreats, keynotes, public and private workshops, as well as licensing and train-the-trainer options for its products and services. For more information, go to bggsradio.com. Breaking the Good Girl Syndrome is the intellectual property and registered U.S. trademark of Vision Alignment, Inc.
Welcome back. I am Patty Azar, and I am the host of Breaking the Good Girl Syndrome radio program, and I am the value advocate for professional women. Hold on to your socks out here. I'm just about to bring on the fabulous Vicki Sullivan. She is the principal of Sullivan & Associates. She's the president of Sullivan Speaker Services. And if you want to know the real stuff about the marketplace, who's paying for who, and what you got to do to position yourself as an expert, this is our person. Good morning, Vicki.
Well, good morning to you. I am blushing. And no one can see this, but my cheeks are just fiery red over all this flattery.
Well, I just love it because you deserve it.
Well, thank you. I'm going to take that.
Well, absolutely, because, you know, I have loved you since the day I met you, when we sat up at Camp CEO with all the girls that we were counselors for 9 days and 9 nights, and we kept our sanity, and it's like, okay, and we were able to maintain a relationship. So I think if you do that, I think you've got a good foundation for it.
You know, I think our experience is a great example of the power of a glass of wine. I mean, with enough wine, you can do just about anything.
Exactly, but we couldn't drink up there, remember?
I know. That's why we had to catch up afterwards.
Exactly. And then for the last 12 years, we've been catching up, my girlfriend.
I'm telling you, we have been catching up, yes.
Well, I just love it that you're on here, and anyone that's listening to us, now you know why you must know Vicki Sullivan. And if you have the need to really understand what a thought leader is and how to turn fame into fortune and not just fame without fortune, because Vicki has specialized in differentiating hyper-competitive markets for her clients, and she's launched thousands of thought leaders. Yes, you heard me right, thousands since 1987. She's a very popular speaker throughout the U.S. and Canada, and she's really about how to stand out in crowded markets and strategies that position experts for lucrative opportunities. Twice she served on the editorial board for Professional Speaker Magazine, and currently she serves as a contributing editor for RainToday.com. It's a prominent community of 120,000 professional service providers. But what I love about Ms. Sullivan here, and Catherine talking about them being from the University of Oklahoma, she's done groundbreaking work that's led her to an appointment at the Women's Leadership Board for the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard.
Boomer Sooner.
And that's taking you around the world. I mean, having that affiliation with those top women there. I mean, you went to a wedding in Tibet, did you not?
Actually, it was in Bangkok. And we had a blast there. It's really changed my life, and I think it's a great example of thought leadership and what happens when you are seen as a leader in your field. The opportunities just fly open.
So tell us about how the market's changed in the recent years.
Well, I think what's happened is people have hunkered down because of the bad economy. I think that this Great Recession caught some folks by surprise. I don't think a lot of us saw it coming. And I think it has changed our perception of risk, and I think it has changed what we are willing to do to get what we want.
Go a little deeper for me. Who's the we? Are you talking about us as the individual, us as the expert, or us as the organization deciding whether to buy us or not?
I'm talking about the collective us.
Okay.
I'm talking about organizations who are frankly, and you know me, Patty, we're going to tell the tale here.
Good.
We've got organizations that are hoarding massive amounts of cash.
Right.
We have organizations who said that they would hire. When demand came up,
right,
and when consumer spending came up and the buyers came back, did not hire.
That's right.
And as a result of that, I think that there is a sense of we need to keep what we have. We need to keep what we have because the risk of promoting ourselves, the risk of hiring ourselves, the risk feels higher and more painful than it did during the boom times.
Man, that's really scary. That's really scary as a country.
It is. Oh, yeah. Be very afraid.
And so in those profound market changes, what's happened to the market out there for thought leaders?
Well, you have to give away more stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, you have to give away more stuff. You have to get out there more. You got a higher hustle factor. You can still generate revenue. I mean, you can still do it. It just takes more doing. You don't have clients falling out of trees anymore.
That's right.
And you don't have people saying to themselves, I'm okay with investing in myself because I know the money's going to come back to me. People are not sure that the money's going to come back to them. They believe, and when I say they, I'm talking the collective they,
right,
feel that once they spend that money, it's going to be 10 times harder to replace it. And when you believe that something is 10 times harder to replace it, you're going to be less likely to put it out there.
Wow. Well, I know because so many of the major organizations believe technology is really replacing the human being, but it's not.
Exactly.
It's just that they're hoarding the cash not to put the human capital in at this time.
Exactly. And here's and I'm going to take an example out of my own life. You know,
okay.
As you know, I like to shop.
Right.
Okay. It is entertainment, and it is a hobby for me. And I got to tell you, when I'm shopping, I want some service.
Exactly.
Now, I need someone to set me up a room when I'm shopping for clothes, and I need somebody to help me figure out how fabulous I look and what outfit.
Where are you finding it, girlfriend?
Well, that's my problem, is that when I go into these stores now, I'm not getting any help.
Well, nobody's there.
I know. And I'm like, excuse me, but I've got some money to spend, and where are you? So you know what? I don't spend as much money if I don't get as much help. And maybe that's why stores like The Gap are closing 175 stores.
Exactly.
Just saying.
Exactly.
Just saying.
Well, absolutely. I mean, look, Kmart's going out the door, and look at all the organizations. Look at Macy's, the big box stores out there now.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's just crazy out there. I just, as you know, got back from a beach vacation, and I shopped my way all up and down the coast. And I went to this harbor area where they had a lot of boutiques.
Right.
There was not one, not two, but three stores going out of business.
That's terrible.
That was terrible. Bad, 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 bad.
It's awful, isn't it, to
it
be
is.
Able to compete like that because technology has impacted how leaders really do position themselves.
They do. Because here's what's happening, Patty. Technology has now created opportunities for us to get out there. It is easy, easy, easy to get out there. That's a big shift from previous times. You know, back when the earth was cooling and dinosaurs roamed the planet and we didn't have the internet and all that kind of stuff. What happened was we had to spend a lot of time to find the opportunities to have that spotlight on us. Now, the spotlight is everywhere. Thanks to social media. And you'll notice how traditional media is now latching onto social media and bringing a lot of what I call normal human beings onto the show to kind of give a common touch to their news programs.
Yeah, they were forced to.
Absolutely.
They were forced to.
Absolutely. So it's no longer a challenge to find the opportunities to get out there. The challenge now for thought leaders, the challenge now if you want to stand out, is how do you rise above the noise?
So how do you do that?
Well, you do that in two ways. Actually, three ways. Number one, you determine your role in the conversation. This is a very strategic question that a lot of people don't ask themselves. What is my role in the conversation? If you're having a conversation about leadership, what's your role? What's your strategic territory that if anyone gets into that space, they look like a cheap imitation? All right? So that's one way. Second way, you got to have a voice. Oh, my God, don't be boring. Now, you don't have to be extroverted, okay? I mean, I'm known as being loud, proud, and slightly annoyed. But, I mean, you know, you don't have to go all that, all right? I mean, look at Stephen Covey. Bless his soul, okay?
Right.
He was not Mr. Motivational.
No.
Okay? But he still was a sought-after speaker and a sought-after thought leader. But you have to have a voice.
Correct.
And the third thing that you really need to have is you have to have a story that touches people's hearts. You know, you have to have a brand story that allows people an emotional context to connect with you.
So that's why I see all these folks now, they're going out and they position themselves as experts in storytelling, and they've built a business around that now.
Absolutely, because studies have shown the impact stories have on our brain. Our brains only remember what we emotionally connect to.
Isn't that amazing? That because 20 years ago, you and I would have been fired at our organizations. Well, more than 20 years ago, because we've been out there for longer than that. But we would have been fired from corporate America by taking that approach, and now today you must.
Absolutely. Look at the celebrities. Look at the athletes. Every time there is a big sporting event, every single time, there's a story about the athlete. Every athlete has a story. That's the only way they can stand out.
Isn't that interesting? Because
yep.
I was listening to Jay Williams, who ruined his career by a motorcycle crash, and he's now as an ESPN reporter, but it's because of his story.
Right.
It's
exactly.
All because of his story.
It has nothing to do with expertise now, does it?
No. And so are you telling us now that we're buying style over substance?
Yes.
Wow. I'm in trouble.
Oh, yeah. Me and you both, sister. Which is why of the power of the glass of wine. Now, I'm telling you. We need some wine and talk about this for a second.
Exactly.
Oh, no, when you look at the millennials out there, now, I'm just saying, folks, don't send me any hate mail. I'm just saying this is not a bad thing. We're dealing with the world as it is, not as we think it should be.
Correct.
When you look at the millennials that are establishing themselves as thought leaders,
yes,
they are going a mile wide and an inch deep. Okay, they're focusing on their story, they're focusing on their voice, they're focusing on their role in the conversation. But if you're looking for some in-depth insights, they don't have it to give.
Well, they don't have any wisdom yet. They've got very...
Exactly!
And that's where I believe that what we do, when we tell folks you must be able to build your certainty in life, and that means you align your authentic leadership to your story, like you're talking about, and your story must really care about and bring in the wisdom that you have found in your life and how it applied to you.
Perfect. In fact, that's what the story really does. It builds a bridge between your background, your expertise, and your relevance. People need to know what to do with you. And if they don't know what to do with you, they're not going to do anything.
Because it's interesting because there have been a lot of negative that's happened to the premium rates with premium folks. Is that correct?
Yes. Here's what's happening. And I see this in fashion because, again, I shop, so I'm,
yes.
I'm looking at this. Have you noticed how these highfalutin designers are coming out with a different line for the masses?
Yes.
Okay, there's a reason for that.
Yes.
That's not an accident.
No.
All right. They're sitting there saying, oh, I want to be more accessible. No, they don't. They've got fame without fortune. Okay? They want a bigger market share. They need more attention. In order to do that, they're building sales at lower price points. So you do have to pay premium price for premium folks, but you do it one slice of pie at a time.
It's so interesting you say that because Martha Stewart just came back to me. Do you remember? I know you do because she positioned herself as one of the top leaders, thought leaders in the market. And do you remember when Kmart came to her and her husband? Her husband said, poo-poo it. She says, no, we're doing it. In fact, she got rid of him and took on Kmart.
Well, then, now that was a smart choice. Now, wasn't it?
Believe it was, since she's now a global brand, even after she served a little time with Uncle Sam in one of his houses. Only in America can you go as a felon and come back out still as a billionaire.
That's right.
God bless America.
I'm telling you.
Don't leave us. We have to take a break. It'll be a 30-second break. I'm Patty Azar or Vicki Sullivan. Come back. Don't leave us.
Think you might be playing the good girl and limiting your success, but not really sure what to do? Go to bggsradio.com for a complimentary copy of our Breaking the Good Girl Syndrome self-assessment. We will provide you with the simple steps to correct the issues impeding your success and fulfillment. It is our gift to you to say thank you for joining us on this journey. Again, that website is bggsradio.com.
I'm Patty Azar, and I am the host of Breaking the Good Girl Syndrome radio program, trying not to laugh, because I got my fabulous friend and the expert, true expert in thought leadership that has real depth in her, not just breath. She's got both of them. And she's our fashionista, and she loves wine, and she really knows her stuff out there. So tell me, Vicki, explain what fame and no fortune means. We started on that a while ago, and I broke in talking about Martha Stewart, and you were talking about some folks. But folks out there that, you know, that may have a mom and pop or they're trying to get themselves positioned, talk to us about they've got money out and they've got a name, but maybe no money coming in behind it.
You know, you'd be surprised. That happens more often than a lot of people know. People make the assumption that if you're in the public eye and you're getting a lot of attention, that money has fallen out of trees. And that's really not true.
No.
I get a lot of calls from people that say something like, but I was on blah, blah, blah. I've been in the media for this long, and I've got this, and I've got that. But I'm broke. What's the deal? You know, well, here's the deal. You got attention, but you assumed the cash was coming, and it wasn't. That's not an accident, okay? You need a plan for that. So here's what happens. Either one, you positioned yourself in the free category, okay, so you're barking up the wrong tree. And let me tell you something. When you're barking up the wrong tree, barking louder and longer does not help you. So that's first scenario. The second scenario is people don't know what to do with you. We talked a little bit about that in the last segment. If people don't know what to do with you, they're not going to do anything. They will enjoy you. They will laugh with you. They may even sign up for your blog or sign up to get your promotions, but they're not going to buy from you.
You know, I have found that out, too, because what I've realized with us, because we are thought leaders about what we do, but we've been out there for a long time. I mean, what we do is valuable, brings real ROI. But even for us, it's harder for us to get through the clutter now because folks are out there and they're competing. You know, we're in the market with folks out there giving it away, and we know a lot of it's junk, but for some reason, it's still gotten harder and harder even for us.
Yeah, here's what happens when you try to do the free thing to build your business and build your thought leadership. There's a place for free in the marketplace, okay? Free is great if you're out exploring something. If you need a general education about something so that you know what you want, that's perfect. But if you try to build your thought leadership or build any business on free advice, you're not going to get beyond the superficial.
I agree. And nobody's going to value it anyway. They think that something is wrong with what you're offering.
Exactly. You will get general advice. But you have to figure out how to apply that general advice, and that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where people like me generate revenue, because I can shorten the sales cycle if I know how to apply what you have to a particular market segment. That's what people pay me for, and that's what you should pay for. So free helps with the general education.
Got it.
But when people take free and think they're going to, quote, bootstrap their business or bootstrap their thought leadership, they get on a treadmill that they can't get off. And it usually takes about a year or so, but they start getting tired. And it's like they're treading water. They're putting all this stuff out, but they're not getting enough back to sustain their business or to sustain their efforts.
Well, you know, for the last decades that we've been working, and I know it's still holding true. In fact, it might be even more prevalent today, that when you choose a certain client and you go after a certain client, whatever you go after, what usually ends up being in your life for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're starting to go out there as the cheap and you're going out there, you don't even understand your earned value. You don't understand what your ROI is, just like you don't even understand the market or how to be able to tie the story and the wisdom to that. You are going to be broke.
Absolutely. And, again, if you position yourself as a free expert, you're training people not to pay you.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're positioning your thought leadership in that you are the same as other free thought leaders, then people will take everything you got, and they will even applaud, okay, but they will not buy from you.
That is so true. And then you build a good pipeline with their help of other people who don't want to buy you.
Exactly.
But they love to have you in your space because
exactly.
You're fun, you're dynamic, and you're giving away your stuff for free.
Absolutely. That's why and you mentioned that I'm the president of Sullivan Speaker Services. I started out as an agent for professional speakers back, again, when dinosaurs roamed the planet and no one was, looking at child labor laws. You know, if you got a free speech saying, oh, this exposure is going to be great for you, all you got after that speech was more offers for free speaking.
Exactly.
So it's really hard to get out of that free box once you set up camp there. And a lot of people set up camp thinking they can get out later and they can't.
No. In fact, you know, it's really interesting because what you do for a living and what we do for a living, we're asking people to really look at themselves in the mirror, what they're really choosing in life, and do they have the courage? Because if it's style over substance, and we see that all the time, and we see style over substance in organizations that have been led by really organizations are going to be extinct and or they're going to be lackluster. So what happens to them and what happens to the message that they have out there? And it's very difficult for them to understand why to invest in someone like you, because why would somebody come to you? I know that you shorten some of the sales process for them, but what do you offer? What benefit if I came to you and said, you know, Vicki, I need your help. I'm investing dollars, but I'm not getting anywhere. What would you be your process and how could you help them?
Well, the way I help people is I do three things. Number one, I help create a brand story that creates that bridge between their expertise, what people can do with them, and their relevance, okay? So people have that instant connection, and they're ready to do something with my clients. The second thing I do is I make sure that they dominate a particular space in the marketplace. If you don't dominate, you don't get paid. And it's just that simple. If you don't dominate, you don't get paid. The marketplace is very polarized right now. There's a few people getting paid and everybody else is struggling. Same thing in thought leadership. So if you don't dominate, you're not going to get paid. The third thing that I do is I really create a visceral reaction where someone will say, oh my, I need me some of that. And that's when the opportunities really fly open. You know, here's an example. I was working with an author just last year. Now, again, you know, where people are not wanting to open up the pocketbooks, you know, very wide.
Right.
He wrote a book because he needed to rise above the noise. Now, you and I both know, Patty, that there is six-figure book titles going out the door every year.
I mean,
we're talking 150 to 200,000 book titles out the door every year.
Yes.
So, right, just because you write a book does not mean you're going to get money from that book.
No, I think most of the time it means you're just going to waste a lot of money.
You're going to spend a good five figures, and you're going to have boxes in your garage. That's what's going to happen to you. That's what you have to show for yourself.
Exactly. And hopefully the years down the road, you'll have a fireplace that you can burn them.
Yeah, they make good kindling.
Exactly.
They do. And so this guy worked with me to message his book, make sure that he was dominating his space and all that stuff. We identified a territory for him, and we identified his place in that territory. Within 5 days after launch, he made a very prominent bestseller list.
Awesome.
5 days. That's what you pay for when you work with someone like me. You work with speed. You get speed. So instead of him hustling for a year and still having a bunch of boxes in his garage, he got opportunities flying out the door because he was on that bestseller list.
So you had him positioned to build his platform,
exactly.
If I could say that in my terms.
Yep.
And that it wasn't vanity. It wasn't just all about him. So you teach people how to tell their stories without it being a vanity.
Right. It's all about relevance. I help people be relevant to their most profitable market. And when you are relevant in your most profitable market, you generate revenue faster. Just that simple.
Give me an example where someone didn't listen to you.
Oh, Lord, there's a lot of people that ignore me, you know.
I hear
about them about a year later. They're broke, and I don't say I told you so. That's rude, okay?
Well,
Southerners don't like to be rude, so we don't say things like that, but I was thinking it.
No, we just say, well, bless your heart.
Yeah.
And so when that comes out from us, you know you're in trouble. Because I know from what we do, I had a client one time tell me that, you know, Azar, I need you to teach my people how to fish. I said, Mr. CEO, not only did we teach him how to fish, we built the pond. We put the magnificent, clearest water in that pond. We actually put the boats there. We put all the fishing tackle. We actually put the food in so that your folks could go out. However, Mr. CEO, you have to push your people. You have to tell them to get in the boat, and you have to push the boat out on the pond. And
yep.
So I know how difficult that is.
Yep, yep. Here's a great example of someone who did not listen to me. And this is a sad story. Now, we're not going to laugh about this.
Well,
this is a sad story, people. Okay, so I talked to one of my colleagues, and she wrote a book, and she asked me what I thought. Now, you know what happens, Patty, when someone asks me what I think I'm going to tell them.
Thank God.
And I said, well, here's the good news, and here's the sad news. Here's the challenge. Well, I didn't know, because I didn't ask enough questions, that book was like her baby. And I did not mean to say the baby was ugly, but she took it that way, so she ignored me. And I'm like, okay, I get it. I'm so sorry, you know, but dang, I didn't know I was supposed to sugarcoat something. So anyway, so fast forward about 6 months, the book is out. She ends up going out of business and into forced retirement because she put everything she had in that book. And when it failed, it took her business down with it.
So it took her business, it took her money, it took her soul, didn't it?
It did.
Because
she had everything she had in that book.
And it took her confidence right with it, and,
yep.
then it just took everything that she felt of value about herself.
Yeah, because she had a leadership retreat, and she was using the book to get people into the leadership retreat.
Right.
But she positioned herself as one of many. And when you position yourself as one of many, you're automatically relegated to the free market. So when you're one of many, your work is now worth nothing, as in no money. Now, it's valuable because people want it for free, so there's value in that. But it's not worth money. It's not worth revenue. It's not worth people coming to your retreat center.
Isn't that interesting?
Yep.
Because we've seen so many of those out there like that. So was she just not coachable? Was she just not open? Or was it, did you enter where she was, it was so done, and that baby was too far?
That's a great point. You know, timing is everything. Here's what I've noticed, Patty. When people put so much emotional energy in something, at some point they're done. And I have felt that way myself. You know, when I'm doing my website, there was a time when I said, you know what? I don't care what that dang thing looks like. Go live. I'm done.
That is a high dominant statement if I ever heard one.
I don't care if it's got rabies or something. You know, just get it out.
Right.
Get it done. I don't care anymore. So I can know that feeling.
Sure.
And I fight that feeling.
Yes.
Because if it's not right, it can do more damage than good.
Exactly.
And that's what happens. People, by accident, they don't mean to, but because they use so much free advice, this is what they do, they become one of many. And when they're one of many, they've become free.
Wow.
They've become the army of free out there.
And we've got many armies, many navies of free out there right now, not being able to differentiate yourself.
Right. And here's what happens. They call me, and they say, I need your help, but I'm broke. And I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? You know, I can't help. I get paid, newsflash. So I have 150 pages of free content on my website. That's my gift to the world.
Right.
So if someone goes to VickiSullivan.com, they're going to get a bunch of free stuff. They don't even have to give me their email. They can just take it.
Right.
But here's the clue. They don't get my one-on-one attention.
Right.
So the general education, I'll give away. But if you want my one-on-one attention, you got to pay me.
So how did you build that confidence to understand that? Because what you just said about being the thought leader comes back to our principles. And one of them is if you understand your earned value, which you do, you definitely do. But how did you maintain that confidence? Because let's face it, we all have been touched in this because speakers and people coming to you, we all have to look at ourselves to make sure that we're still relevant. Because you and I are close and we have challenged each other. If we ever become not relevant in the marketplace, we're going to tell each other. And
right.
For us, we've been out there for a long time. How do you stay deep? How do you stay relevant?
Well, first off, you make sure you always remember that at the end of the day, it's not about us. It's about service, and it's about serving others. And I had a situation very early in my career, and I still want to hug this man to this day. But he said to me something I'll never forget. He said, you know, Vicki, you're good. You're very good at what you do, but $400 a day is just too much money. And all of a sudden, the light bulb went on, and I thought, you know what? I'm always going to be too expensive for somebody. Even if I'm charging $2.50, I'm still going to be too expensive for somebody. So I'm going to go for broke. I'm going to charge whatever I want because, you know, it doesn't matter how low I go, I'm going to be too expensive for somebody. I wanted to hug that man.
Isn't that fabulous?
I wanted to hug him.
I do love that because it's all about owning that. It's all about truly owning that value because the confidence cannot hold. I mean, how in the world can you progress and evolve in these types of tough, tough business cycles? Because like you talked about, they're polarized. We're polarized out there. And a lot of people don't feel as though they've got the hope to continue. They don't even know where to look. So if they're looking for you and they're looking for help as maybe a speaker, do you do work just for folks who choose just to be a speaker?
Well, here's what's going on in that marketplace right now, Patty. The market for professional speakers, people who get paid to speak, has been quite disrupted. The army of free has tanked those fees. And so what I tell my clients is that speaking needs to be a cog in a much bigger wheel. The days that you are just speaking and that's all you do, even the celebrities use speaking as a sideline.
Yes.
Okay? If you use it as a major driver for your business model, you're in for some very tough times because you've got some corporate folks, people with a day job, going out there to speak because they want the spotlight.
Right.
And if they're willing to do it for free, why should someone pay, you know, a normal human being that doesn't have that big company name behind them?
Exactly. So that's going to be the cog in the wheel now.
So what I tell people who want to speak, as I said, speaking has to be part of a larger platform.
Right.
So I build seven-figure platforms, and speaking is one of many of those revenue streams.
And so what does your typical client look like?
My typical client is brilliant. They're brilliant enough to know that they are clueless about what they are clueless about. My clients know that the sharpest knife cannot carve its own handle, and that they are brilliant in their own right, but if they want to rise above the noise, they need outside help. So it's really a mindset. I work with highly successful people, and I even work with people who do branding for others, but they know they can't do it for themselves. The power of a pair of fresh eyes who knows what they're doing can be the big tipping point.
And also about that with you, you tell them the truth.
Yep.
And you're so much fun and you're animated, but the great thing is that you're very caring and you're very concerned about everyone being wildly successful.
Thank you. Yes,
yeah,
I am.
And you are. But the great thing is everyone knows you never have a hidden agenda with them.
Nope. I will tell the truth to hurt myself. I will tell the truth even when it hurts me.
Well, it never hurts you because it always comes back to you because look how successful you've been.
Oh, thank you. And I get to sleep at night. What a concept.
How about that? So, Vicki, in the BGGS fashion, we never ask our folks to come on without giving them a shout-out. I want you to make sure, because I want our listeners out there. We have male and female listeners out there, and we're moving to a platform, too, about magnificence leadership. So put a shout-out about how people can find you, what they can get out of it, and whatever you like to do.
Thank you. My website is VickiSullivan.com, V-I-C-K-I-E, Sullivan.com. You'll find a bunch of free stuff there. And if you like the free stuff, sign up for the blog. And guess what? You'll get more free stuff.
And, but you just really undersold yourself because they need to. That's great. They get the free stuff. But I'm telling you right now, if you're wanting to differentiate yourself, you want to get out of the noise and the clatter out there, you say, you know what, I've got something of brilliance, you really need to pick up the phone or email Vicki and become one of her clients. Everyone that I know and I have been able to align with one of her Colorado clients, we're going to do some work together because she's got a thinking tool out there. She only works with the best. If you're the best, you need help, you need to call Vicki Sullivan. And if you can't find her through the show, we'll make that bridge, that connection for you. I'm Patty Azar, and I am the host of Breaking the Good Girl Syndrome. Vicki Sullivan, you rock.
Thank you. That was so much fun.
I know it is already over. Hold on. Segment. We're coming back. I'm so excited about Vicki here. I can't even talk. Come back. Wisdom segment. Segment 4.
Join Patty as the value advocate for professional women. Want to know more about Patty and her team's service offerings? Simply go to bggsradio.com. You can also reach us by email at patty@bggsradio.com or by simply calling us at 480-778-1818.
Welcome back. I am Patty Azar, and I'm the host of Breaking the Good Girl Syndrome radio program. I am laughing my head off here. Catherine, how are you doing?
I am doing great. I've loved all of the insights, and I'll tell you, right off of the bat, you know, there are all of these free services that are available for entrepreneurs and startups. You know, everywhere you turn, there's a chamber doing this or a small business association with these services for free. And I loved what she said about what that market differentiator is. You know, when you pay for it, when you pay for that expertise, what you're paying for is speed. And mm-hmm. in a crowded market where every second counts, I don't know that there's something more valuable that you could pay for in your business than speed to market.
And I know, and then when Vicki talked about to determine your role in the conversation and what's your strategic territory, we don't say it quite that eloquently, but that's where we know we've been playing. But what I also loved is that you have to find your voice. You can't be boring. But the story, you have to have a brand story. And for me, that's a huge lesson from Vicki because the brand story is different from it to be vanity. It's different from just going out there and posturing and trying to position yourself. It's understanding how to drive that ROI, like you and I talk about, building that confidence to be able to message the right story, to have the right voice, to be able to play in that strategic market.
Absolutely. And, you know, another thing, Patty, as she was talking about the mile wide and, you know, a quarter of an inch deep, which is a bit discouraging, and it's not anything that we haven't seen with our own two eyes. But I'll tell you, it tells me that in terms of thought leadership positioning, this is a real time for individuals that know how to master style and substance to really set themselves apart. Because if you're in a crowded market of people that are magnificent when it comes to style, and they have that look, that feel, they say the right things, but you're in a crowded market full of style experts, how do you then differentiate yourself? If you have that substance to go along with it, it really sets you apart.
Well, you know, it's interesting, too, because as you were saying that, and as Vicki was talking about the millennials, I was thinking about all the strategy gaming that we did with executives. Then we did it with the middle management and leadership, and then with front leadership, and how Americans today have been taught to be short-term thinkers, how to have more breadth and very little depth. And we saw what happened to people in terms of planning. I mean, Vicki said the P word today, plan. How many people do you even hear talking about having a plan today? And a lot of people talk about, well, I have a strategy. They don't even know what strategy means. They can't even give you a definition of strategy. And then they don't understand about putting that plan into place. And what you and I have seen so often is that folks say, you know what, multitasking is just fabulous out there, and it allows us to put a lot on our plate and continue. But you and I both know the brain can't even process multitasking. We need to replace that with critical thinking. And until we do so, Vicki is so right. The market's going to stay polarized. All these people are still going to go out there and give for free. But the good news is the basics of business as we know it, and as Vicki knows it, that's why she's so successful with her clients, is simply because the depth. You have to have some breadth, and you have to have depth if you are absolutely going to position yourself as a brand story, if you're going to have your voice, and if you're going to claim your territory. So the good news, I know what we're doing for our organization, for what we do for our clients, is that we offer that and how critical that is to be able to do that. Because if not, you will find yourself in an individual contributor role, style over substance. You'll try to move into that and get unstuck from the sticky floor, moving into leading people. Then all of a sudden, you were successful as an individual contributor, but there's nothing there. There's nothing to validate you. There's nothing to authenticate you in that role.
You know, Patty, I'm a big believer in ignoring things, especially when they're popular in business. I think that business people, for some reason, have that herd mentality, and they oftentimes, we've seen, like, to follow each other off of the edge of the cliff with the latest hot trend and the latest idea. And this whole short-term thinking, and I mean, there are people out there that say, basically, the world's moving too fast, and a strategy is worthless. And do I believe that the essence of, or do I believe how we approach strategy has changed? I think absolutely it has. There are so many mitigating factors out there that were not out there 5-10 years ago, so I definitely think it changes your approach. But the fact that strategy is not necessary to me is a joke, and I think that the companies that think that will be like the ones that were on the Fortune 500 list 15 years ago that are no longer. They're extinct, and they're extinct because of poor leadership.
Well, I knew Vicki was coming on the radio program, and last weekend on one of the news channels, I saw the CEO of one of the great companies out there right now. The name escapes me. And talking about digitizing the world, the need to be able to digitize, because anyone that's going to be out there is going to have a form of technology. They have to be aligned with technology. And without being able to do that, you're not going to be able to do what Vicki's talking about. Vicki's messaging is so unaligned, because he was talking about global organizations. Then he was talking about companies that are trying to break through. And the companies who, the major companies like the GEs, who absolutely depend on the small companies being able to break through and own their territory, own their brand story and have their voice, because those are the global companies that are out there buying up these small companies, being able to differentiate themselves, being able to build themselves as a thought leader, and for someone to understand there is real value there, that it's not the .com, we can actually monetize these ideas.
Absolutely. And, you know, Patty, talking about stories, we haven't spent a lot of time on it, but, you know, we're big on celebrating the impact that our work has had on our clients and our listeners. And I think you had a recent conversation that I think, you know, speaking of stories, we really ought to stop and celebrate that story.
I know. It's one of our dear, dear clients. In fact, she's been a client on and off for 26 years now, and she comes back in every 5 or 6 years to get a tune-up. And she was able to, we were able to, be, for her to be able to determine what her non-negotiable, non-impeachable principles were in this world, and that she had the earned value, not the folks that she was trying to position herself with. What she found out, number one, is that when she owned her own earned value, she turned away from this huge, huge conglomerate, huge gentleman in her market space as so successful. She found out today that he was not paying the advisors, and she's a chief advisor on the legal side, that he was not paying that. And just knowing that and celebrating that, in fact, she called me to be able to celebrate that because she didn't get into that nest. She positioned herself as a thought leader with another organization that now has brought her in as a part of the family, is exactly what Vicki talked about, owning her strategic territory, owning her voice. And for us, owning that voice means you really understand very clearly what your non-negotiables and principles and business are. And another organization that she thought she wanted to be aligned with, she found out that their non-response meant they didn't support her either. So guess what? We celebrated today her magnificence. She has now got a new family, and she's excited and ecstatic. Listen, I hate to cut us off, but we are out of time. And I'm Patty Azor, and I'm the host of Breaking the Good Girl Syndrome radio program. And thank you so much for joining us. Please, please, if you didn't listen live, go and download us on MP3 or either on iTunes podcast. Thanks so much. See you next week.
Thank you for joining Patty and Breaking the Good Girl Syndrome. Please join Patty every week for her insightful views and great guests.
Make the best of the situation.